Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me to present the World Social Science Report, and thank you very much for being here, attending to our session at a very late moment of the day. So I'm going to speak to you about the World Social Science Report, which was prepared last year, and which was prepared by ISSC, the International Social Science Council, for UNESCO. The topic is knowledge divides, and in order to put it in a futuristic way, I'm saying overcoming the knowledge divides and the future of social sciences. The question that I saw in the program where I was supposed to speak of social science in the future, and I said, oh my God, what a difficult task. It's probably social sciences in 2031 is going to depend on so many things, including the scenario that you presented, including the future of science and how science is going to evolve, how the environment is going to evolve. So I will stick to what we've done in the report, which is what is the state of social sciences today in different parts of the world, and try to see from the state of social sciences nowadays some potential direction for the future and some possible themes and trends. So as I mentioned, the World Social Science Report was commissioned by UNESCO to the International Social Science Council. And it has a focus, which is knowledge divides, which is what are the various divides that reduce the ability of social sciences to analyze trends in human societies and to effectively address global challenges. The context for social science is a context of growth, but also a context of crisis, and a context, I would say, of confluence of crisis. Context of growth. Social sciences contributed to shaping history. I mean, sciences and social sciences contributed to shaping history. Many concepts which are used in social sciences have entered in day-to-day language. The comparative advantage, self-fulfilling prophecies, the Oedipus complex, human capital, social capital, are all expression of social scientists that nowadays everybody uses without realizing that they're social science complex. The very theory, whether it's Marx, whether it's Keynes, whether Adam Smith, all of them have contributed to shaping the way we're living today, and without mentioning Freud. This is all shaping the world we are living today. Another example of the growth of social scientists is the fact that you have an incredible growth of the number of social scientists who are enrolled in universities. Social sciences students increase much faster than natural science students and much faster than even art students. There is a great demand for social science. There is also great demand for social science in the society. Of course, they all become, or they may become, university professors and researchers, but they also are very present in governments, they're very present in the media, they're very present in big companies. They're everywhere, so to speak. So they're in high demand, they're present everywhere, their concepts are present everywhere, but somehow they're visible nowhere. That is, a lot of people, including some political scientists, some politicians have been saying, we don't need political scientists, we don't need social scientists, why should we finance social sciences? So we are entering there from a period of growth to a question of crisis. Economists are criticized for not foreseeing lots of things, for not having foreseen the 2008 crisis, and for not knowing how to cope with the present one. I don't know if somebody can actually tell whether the Eurozone is going to survive the present crisis, but it's extremely difficult to say. I hope it will, but it's not sure. Sociologists and political scientists are criticized also for failing to identify major trends. They hadn't seen the fall of the Berlin Wall. The social and political scientists in the Arab world had not foreseen the Arab Spring. So there are many things that we say, oh my God, it's obvious, but we say it afterwards. And in general, social sciences are criticized for not providing clear answers to some of the key issues of the day. Yet, social sciences are more crucial than ever. Indeed, today we have been talking of both science and social sciences and the need for collaboration. But we feel that social sciences are indispensable to understand how human beings behave, how they interact with each other, and how they interact with the physical environment. They are also indispensable to bring some rational wisdom into economic, social, political, and personal topics, and into debates which are going on. And there are many debates going on. And they are also indispensable to guide action. I'm going to give you an example, two examples. One is on alleviating poverty. This is, alleviating poverty is a big objective, the Millennium Development Goals. And the objective is to eradicate poverty by 2015. And there are a number of solutions which are prescribed and a number of indicators of things to be done. This is, in a way, the victory of social scientists, to impose this as a world challenge. At the same time, we feel that it's necessary to consider the meaning of poverty for those who experience it, to understand how the poor comprehend their own situation before being able to propose solutions. Social scientists insist on the importance of culture and the importance of context. There are no standardized solutions. Nothing that can work in rural China will also work in Africa and will also work everywhere. This is not possible. There is no standardized solution. Not all people, not all culture see the world in the same way. And they don't react to the same incentives. So much of the anti-poverty policy, which is being practiced, somehow fail because of an inadequate understanding of poverty. And there's more social science which is needed. Second is the example is climate and environmental change. It's widely recognized that climate disorders and environmental changes are closely linked to human activities. There are still some debates, but very few. Social sciences should help understanding the role of culture, the role of values, the role of beliefs in shaping the way groups adapt to changes, and climate changes, and how it helps shaping the strategies they develop. Social science can also help understanding how different groups are being affected by climate change. And social science should help understanding the role of interest and conflicts of interest and power in developing an institutional and political response. So social and natural scientists have to work together in order to find appropriate solutions. Social sciences are as indispensable as natural sciences to address global challenges which require as much change in behavior as new discoveries in natural science. New concepts, new methodologies and new approaches are required. Research as usual won't do. This is our starting point. Yet there are basic divides which hamper the capacity of social sciences to contribute adequate answers. And this is what I'm going to present briefly. The report identified 8 divides. A geographical divide between different parts of the world, problem of unequal capacities or capacity divides, the problem of the uneven internationalization of knowledge, the problems of mainstream research, Western research or North Atlantic research versus alternative approaches, the divide between disciplines within social sciences and between social sciences and the natural sciences. The effect of competition resulting from new management methods, competition resulting from ranking, competition resulting from project funding, from lower funding available for public research, and the scenario that you're describing as being not a very good scenario, which is social science in the marketplace. Social science in many countries is already in the marketplace. So we have this problem which is resulting from new management methods. And finally, the divisions or the low interaction between academics and society on one hand, but also between academics and policymakers. There is a defiance, there is a distrust between social scientists and policymakers, which comes from the fact that for many years, social scientists consider themselves as being essentially there to be critical They are not necessarily there to be offering advice. They are there to be critical and being witness of what's happening. And political scientists do not really like being criticized. They also often think that politicians are taking part of what they're saying for their own advantage without taking the whole lot. So this is, there's much to say on this debate. Let me show you a graph or a map which illustrate the geographical divide. You see a presentation of the world which is actually coming from World Mapper, and which shows that the biggest inequalities in social science performance largely results from differences in funding for higher education. And this represents the funding for higher education, whereas you see big North America, you see big Europe, you see average India and big Japan, and you see extremely narrow Latin America, extremely narrow Africa. And that's unfortunately a little bit what we're seeing for social sciences in the world. There's a capacity divide, which is not exactly the same as a geographical divide, but there are enormous disparities across region, across countries, and within countries in the number of researchers, in the volume, and in the quality of social science research which is carried out. And these divides are striking at the individual level. Not enough researchers are trained. At the organizational level, there is an ocean of difference between a good institution, a good university in the US, and an institution, research institution being in Central America or somewhere in Africa. There's nothing in common. No resources, no library, no very, very few things. No access to books and articles. And there is a final dimension, which is a system level, which is the research policy framework, the importance which is attached to social science research, the incentives which are given to doing research, and the incentives which are given to publish. And of course, the political context, whether or not there is freedom of expression or not. This is reflected, this capacity divide is reflected in the production of social sciences. And that is the production of social sciences as available in the Social Science Citation Index. And you can see how different parts of the world are represented in terms of production. North America is by far the largest producer of articles, followed by Europe. North America has not evolved very much. Europe has increased substantially in the periods between 88, 97 and 98, 2007. And the two together are really dominating social sciences. What you can see also is that Asia is small. Although you have big countries like China, you have big countries like China, India, Japan, Korea, which are all big producers, but according in the number of articles which are available, this looks rather small. And that is not representative of what's happening in natural sciences. We have a catching up happening in natural sciences, which is not obvious at all in social sciences. Then we have Oceania, where with the importance of Australia. And then Latin America is very small, Africa is small. And the last CIS is Russia, is actually the only region where the number of articles has declined. That, again, is not representative of what you would see in natural sciences. Another example, if you remember that this domination of North American and European research, if you see that some countries have actually managed, emergent countries have actually managed to produce and to increase their production through a systematic, well-organized policy to be giving funds, to be training researchers, sending them abroad, giving them incentives to publish, and so on and so forth. And you can see here the difference in red, this is China, and you can see the production of China has increased exponentially, like this. The fastest growth is actually Brazil, which appears here in green, What is surprising is a low size of Indian production, which is here in yellow. It is surprising because India is a big country. It has very famous social scientists, and it has a dominant. It speaks English. So why is it that India is not so representative? One explanation is probably that India is not giving a lot of importance to social science, and it has given preference to natural sciences. This is also the case of South Africa, which is only starting to focus on social sciences. Another divide that I will emphasize is a knowledge fragmentation between social science among themselves and between social science and natural sciences. There is an explosion of fields, subfields, and a tendency to go to hyper-specialization in social sciences. And there is divisions between and within disciplines. On one side, disciplines are essential to the renewal of knowledge and quality control, but on the other side, they limit creativity. To fulfill their function in the face of global challenges, social sciences must become more interdisciplinary. I will not explain this because my time is running up. I was saying what are the fact that there are disincentives to do transdisciplinary research. First of all, there is lower prestige of multidisciplinary research. The fact that career management and advancement is still based on disciplines and publication in reviews of the disciplines, and it's difficult to find financing for interdisciplinary research. And this is all working as disincentives, and these obstacles have to be addressed if we want to have more interdisciplinary research in the future. Let me say a few things on social sciences in the future. What are some of the trends that we see, present and emerging trends in social science and humanities? The two scenarios which you are presenting as being alternative in social science, they coexist. You have both social science, which is addressing global challenges, and you'll have lots of research on poverty, on inequalities, on gender issues, on demographic trends, on conflicts, violence. These are research in most regions. And if we ask to various councils, and they say this is all research which is being done in their countries, in their region. Climate change is starting. It's not yet everywhere. Violence, food crisis, water shortage, changing behavior in health are increasingly researched. And now you have another part of research which is the function of social science is to address local research and local issues. And we find that the research agenda varies quite a lot from region to region according to the priorities of the region. And we find, for example, in some, lots of research on social networks, on digital surveillance, on rights, on multiculturalism, values and ethics, religion, religion in the West, the role of Islam, and so on, terrorism, change management are all themes which are coming up. Another trend is the development of interdisciplinary fields, behavioral economics, urban studies, gender studies, environmental economics, psychology of sustainability. There's also increasing pressure to be relevant, and to be relevant to inform decision-making, and to inform decision-making fast. So there is a very strong pressure, you must give results fast. And there is a certain resistance from the social science community. New methods. We heard this morning speaking of evidence-based decision-making. In order to lead to evidence-based decision-making, you have experimental research, which is developing in economics, which is also developing in psychology. Another trend, which is quite different, is a co-production of knowledge. There is no better evidence than having convinced all the stakeholders. So there is nothing better than having everybody agreeing to go somewhere so that this is the best research one can do. Just two graphs. That's climate change in social science, as we can see it from the Social Science Citation Index. You can see that climate change in social science journals is increasing exponentially from 2004 onward. But when you see the graph below, you see that most of it is being done in the US first, in the UK second, and then afterwards you can't read, but it's Australia, Canada, and China is somewhere in the middle, and so on, towards Africa, where there's hardly any research on on climate change. So we can see this is emerging trends. This will continue to grow, but it's not yet everywhere. Another graph which is interesting is the local and the global. I said that there are global trends and local trends. What's interesting here is to be showing this is for Maghreb countries, which show that global research is produced and is published in English. Since it's Maghreb, it's English and French. While the local research, which is for locally relevant population and issues, this is, in this case, published in Arabic. And what is published in the local language, in the national language, is totally unseen. We cannot see it. We cannot know what's going on. And that's probably why we have such differences in the production of countries. To a few seconds more, on the common features for all these themes. Some of these features is, one, they all emphasize context, belief, and culture. The importance of social sciences is indeed to analyze how the context, how the belief, how the culture explain, as I said, the opinion of the population, the way they adapt or the way they react. The second is the complexity and the interdependencies. It's been said quite a lot today. Third is consequences of actions, of policies for various groups. How does it affect the poor? How does it affect women? How does it affect one nation or another? The notion of change, the notion of values, the importance of ethics, the importance of justice, and put as last, choice, policy, and decision-making. One of the most difficult tasks of this social sciences is to see how we can convince people that they should do things which go against their immediate interest. There are just a few recommendations, but I will not mention them. These are the recommendations of the World Social Science Report. Some of them are to mainstream social sciences. Some are to encourage inter- and transdisciplinary research. But in order to do that, you need to emphasize capacity through attention to organization and systems. We advertise free and open access to peer-reviewed journals and encourage open archives. We suggest to go for co-funding alongside project funding. Don't put all your eggs in the same basket. Support long-term projects, promote international digital database and other databases. Thank you.